I'm pretty sure most of you listeners are familiar with Washington, D.C. Some of you may work here, some may live here, some may visit occasionally, and some have seen it enough on TV to feel like you know everything about it. I've lived in the area for about 7 years, and it often feels like, well, a normal place. But then, I remember one of my first times here. Back in 2011, my husband and I attended a wedding at the park next to the Netherlands Carillon between Arlington Cemetery and the Iwo Jima Memorial. It was fall, and the park was full of beautiful leaves with radiant colors. But what made it even more memorable was the panoramic view of the DC area. It was majestic. And seeing the city and the monuments, even from a distance, gave me a sense of awe. Last episode, we featured two JROTC cadets, Jake and Easton, both winners of a national essay contest. The two high schoolers from Texas and Hawaii, respectively, both traveled to Washington to accept their prizes. And in the midst of this trip, they visited our offices to talk with us. Neither Jake nor Easton had been to Washington before, and during our session, we could tell that they were blown away by what they had seen.
The second day is when we actually got into our sightseeing. We went to
the Holocaust Museum. That was cool to see.
Very interesting. We went around to all the different monuments and the National Mall and everything and went to each one, and they had like a whole little thing set up for us, and we were tired at the end of the day, but it was definitely, it's cool to be able to see all that.
And what was the highlight of the trip for Easton? The Lincoln Memorial? One of the museums? The Capitol building?
Yesterday, we were able to go to the Arlington National Cemetery. There was a laying of the wreath for our program, as well as the Daughters of the American Revolution. That was really cool to see, kind of somber and humbling because not everyone makes it back. I was very impressed with how one of the guys was marching down the stairs. You couldn't see bobbing like you would normally when you're walking. It was like he was floating down the stairs. Bearing was perfect, which is kind of hard to do staring directly at the sun. The drill was very smooth, and just the fact that they could do that while it's such an emotional place with so many people around, it was impressive.
Most people that visit Washington have that sort of moment where the sheer history and grandeur of the place overwhelms you and makes you realize how great our city and country really is. I loved hearing Easton's moment of inspiration. And in today's episode, we hear more from him and Jake, as well as ROTC cadets Catherine and Kyle. Last week, we spoke with these future Army leaders on a wide range of topics. And today, we finish up our two-episode deep dive as they talk about recruitment, what service means, climate change, and even AI. It's an insightful chat, and much like Washington, has moments of inspiration. I'm Carrie Varoheikis, and this is Army Matters.
Welcome back to part two of our Future Leaders of the Army episode. When we left off, the four youth, who you'll meet again in a moment, introduced themselves, their past as the cadet programs, and things like mental health, and the biggest problem in the world. So let's get into it. Here they are.
All right, so my name is Jake Witt, and I'm from Connor High School, Texas. So that's just north of Houston.
All right, my name is Easton Jen. Currently I live at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, Kalaeloha High School.
Hello, my name is Catherine Blotfogel. I currently attend Georgetown University, and I'm part of the Hoya Battalion.
Hello, my name is Kyle Fernandez. I attend Bowie State University, and my major, as I'm wrapping up, is communications.
Easton and Jake, the two high school cadets, were selected to be on the show because they were essay contest award winners. Both wrote on the topic of service.
So you get a prompt, and this year's prompt was, if I were commanding general of Army JROTC Cadet Command, what initiatives or initiative would I implement into the program?
Nice.
To cause some change. My main two initiatives that I wanted to improve on was, I'd actually talked to my instructor. I was asking if we do community service or whatever. And he said we had a community service program called Service Learning. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like service learning should be more hands-on and more involved. Because mm-hmm. Right now it's only, I think, one service learning project is required per year. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be more because okay. Community service is really important for not only the communities, but the cadets themselves.
Yeah, that's good. What about you, Easton?
I wrote something similar to that. I didn't specify on our service learning project because at my school, it's a very small scale. We focus on the school specifically. Mm-hmm. I wrote more about we should be essentially a labor force that could help out with, say, Helping Hands Hawaii, Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
I went into detail about the benefits that would bring for the community.
Yeah.
The cadets who choose to go into the military, cadets who choose not to, mm-hmm. and recruiting.
We had Jake and Easton talk more about the concept of service, with Jake leading off.
Why do you think service to the community is so important?
As someone in National Honor Society, that's one of our four pillars is service. Okay. And I've really learned the importance of it because not only does it help your community as far as doing toy drives mm-hmm. and cancer walks, raising money and stuff, it also helps the people who are doing it.
Okay.
So as a military kid, I've moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. One of the places I lived was, it could use improvement,
right?
To say the least. Hurricanes were a common factor. Mm-hmm. The schools were old and needing renovation. A lot of things could have been made better if there was just someone out there who was willing to do it.
Right.
And since then, I've kind of noticed that if there is no community service, there is no community. If there's no one there to fix it up, no one wants to be part of it. And America was founded on community. If we don't have community, we don't have country. It's not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And there's also a feeling you get when helping someone else that you cannot replicate.
Yeah.
It's just very, very important.
Yeah, that's very good.
The Defense Prisoner of War and Missing in Action Accounting Agency is dedicated to building a reckoning of our missing heroes. Join us online at dpaa.mil for the Korean Cold War Government Briefing, August 17 through 18 in Arlington, Virginia. Discover their mission to account for the missing and bring answers to their families.
Now, what do these cadets think about the effectiveness of how the Army is currently reaching out to youth today? First off was Kyle, who has already spent over a decade in the Army. And his thoughts were, a little blunt.
I honestly would say I think the military as a whole just does a horrendous job being able to paint the picture to the civilian population, to what you get, what you receive. Yes, I'm serving. But man, I've received so much in my years of service. I feel like I'm honestly the lucky one. I don't even look at it as service at times. Whether it's trying to reach out to a certain community, we have incredible stories of those people that have been extremely successful in those positions. Like, look at yourself, a retired general. Do we do a good job of going back where we came from and telling people, hey, look, I did it, you can do it too? No, we typically mandate recruiters. Some do, yes. Some do volunteer, but you know, the orders come down, you go to school, you learn in a classroom how to talk to people, and then you graduate, and then you go to some office someplace, and you're supposed to go to these high school kids. And you know, no one's really out there saying, like, look, I did it, so can you. This is what I learned, this is what I received, these are the friendship, this is the bond, these are the skills. There's so many programs. Like, the Army has a gaming team. Like, you get paid to play video games. A lot of these kids are already doing that and they're not getting paid. The military has a weightlifting team, a CrossFit team, a track team, boxing, all of these things. whatever it is that you want to do, there's probably an outlet. There's probably a way to do it. Hey, and like I said earlier in the conversation, you probably have no idea what you want to do. So like, give it a shot.
Catherine echoed some of that, insisting the Army should focus on the programs they have to help people.
I think that we should meet people where they're at. The Army has a lot of programs and a lot of opportunities and a lot of support. I joined the Army because I saw the career potential and I saw the potential to help me get a degree at a high-level university. But I know there are people that have different goals in their life, and I know that the Army has programs that can help them reach those goals. And so as a non-Army recruiter, I think that it's really just about listening to what they need and seeing what their goals are and explaining how the Army can help them reach those goals.
Easton and Jake, the two high schoolers, focus on the monetary appeal of serving in the Army, as well as travel.
First and foremost, financial security is not something that a lot of people can say they've got.
Okay.
And the military offers, from personal experience, living with my dad, seeing that, you get your paycheck, you don't miss any, you know what you're getting paid, you have base housing allowance, COLA, depending on where you live.
Cost of living, okay.
Yes. You get a pay increase for, I believe, every 2 years you're in, not to mention for your first few years, you get promoted relatively quickly, like 2 years for your first promotion, I believe, or at least being eligible. For
right.
It. You have to accomplish stuff okay. to be promoted. But very good financial security, not to mention you get to travel the world.
Yeah.
You get paid to travel the world.
Okay. How about you, bro?
Said some of the best points that I was thinking of. So I'll just improve on the financial security part. A lot of people want to get an education.
Yeah.
And so with the GI Bill, especially, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people who, if you don't go to the military, you graduate after 4 years and you've most likely accumulated hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt possibly. Mm-hmm. And that takes a long time to pay off. And so if you go to the military, you don't have to deal with that debt. You get to go to college for free and you're still spending 4 years in the military for a free education when it could take you decades to pay off that debt.
It was after this that we dove into some fun questions with the gang. First off, climate change. Here's Jake from Texas.
Everyone who says that it's not real is definitely not correct about that. It's obviously impacting us because, I mean, in Texas right now, it's 106. Like, I'm glad I'm here and not dealing with that. Not only is it 106, but it's wet. So it's like,
it feels
like whenever I was out with my guards, it was literally 120 outside.
Wow.
So it's very obvious that it's affecting our weather and that it's slowly getting worse. But as far as what we need to do to stop that, we've got many good things happening with like stopping pollution and especially with the oceans. I actually, in my English class, I wrote an essay about climate change. And that was the main topic. And I think that as far as stopping it, it's more about we need to make everyone aware about it. Because I'm not sure everyone even is aware of what it's doing. So if we can just spread awareness about what it is, then that can help be the first thing to like stop it.
And then Easton, the Army brat currently residing in Hawaii.
I lived in Alaska prior to Hawaii. They're getting all of it before what the rest of the world should feel. The Arctic climate is getting all out of whack. We hit 95 degrees 2 years ago. When you think Alaska, you're thinking igloos, cold, dark. No, we had forest fires running rampant, 95 degrees. The ice melting doesn't sound like that big of a deal until you realize that reflects most of the heat from the planet back out to space. If we don't have that ice, we're taking all of that head on. I've seen the water levels rising. Towns are falling off the map. There were some native towns, I believe, the Nupiak tribe.
Okay.
Their town's gone. It all fell into the ocean. The silt's gone. Their food's gone. They might as well be gone.
Right.
It is a very big deal. I could go on for hours about this. Ocean acidification, water level rising, plants dying, deforestation. There's so much that we could do to stop it. The main issue is economics. We can't, unless we overhaul everything, which there's no good solution for that.
and what do they think about a topic that seems to be on the news every day, AI. Again, Jake from Texas.
My first ever hearing about AI and stuff like that was actually in like elementary school. Mm-hmm. We had like a Lego like robotics team. And so after like learning about how like viable like stuff like that can be,
right?
I started becoming interested in like all types of things like drones and just technology in general.
Yeah.
And then now seeing that like AI has like developed so much to where like even in the military we have drones that are like not even like physically piloted. I think that's really interesting. And I think that it definitely has a lot more to go, but I think it's very interesting personally.
I have mixed feelings on this topic. Okay. I believe AI could be used to do amazing things. I know it recently passed, I believe it was the bar, in 5 minutes, and it passed more than most people do. I know it's passed a lot of medical exams, like various AIs, and make doctors seem obsolete. I know they are not. At the same time, in the wrong hands, this great technology could be used to do horrible things, hacking bank accounts, draining the stock market of whatever it's worth. It just depends on how it's used.
If you are a JROTC student or know someone who is, AUSA has money to give you. Submissions for the prestigious Lieutenant General Theodore Stroop Jr. Scholarship Essay Contest are currently being accepted. Open to all JROTC students in the junior and senior levels of high school. Applicants are asked to provide a letter of recommendation and submit an essay in response to the article by Sergeant Major Nelson and Sergeant Major Arnold, titled, Put Down That Smartphone and Show Courage to Learn. Can you put down that smartphone? You could be one of the top three contestants to receive AUSA scholarships ranging from $2,500 to $1,000. The deadline is September 1st, and more information can be found at www.ausa.org/scholarships under the Army Scholarships category. Best of luck to all the contestants. And of course, the one topic that everyone wants to ask about, social media. So, are you on it? Which apps? What's going on with it? Again, Jake from Texas.
I use a lot of TikTok for sure. That's the main platform that I use for entertainment for sure. That and then YouTube. Because, I mean, TikTok is just... it's so like entertaining, you know, you get a new video every single time and you have your For You page that's like geared towards videos that it knows you like. And it's definitely really entertaining, but it's also kind of weird because it's like, how do they know so well?
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. How do they know me so well? It's really entertaining. And I probably spend a little bit too much time on TikTok for sure.
How about you?
I just recently got on Instagram. I was part of we call it the SCC Student Something Council,
mm-hmm.
where it was my job to help regulate that page. Unfortunately, the council didn't gain much traction, so wasn't part of much. But because of that, I got into the Instagram area. Personally, I use it only to essentially record what I do so I can go back and look on it, say 50 years when my memory's not that great.
That's profound. Okay.
I use it to communicate with acquaintances where I don't really want them to have my phone number,
mm-hmm.
but I still need to communicate with them in some way. But I try my hardest to stay off of it. I know it's really bad for mental health. And because it's entirely geared for you, that algorithm shows you what you want to see, not necessarily
right.
what you need to see.
Right. Yeah. Give me a trend. Tell us something I might not know about. I'm not on TikTok, by the way. So you ask me anything TikTok, I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, well, then I don't know if I can really say
well,
much.
We can establish the fact I'm not a TikToker.
That's all I really know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not on TikTok, sorry.
If you don't know anything about TikTok, then nope. I mean, that's the biggest social media right now, so.
Okay. For your age group, yes.
Yes, sir.
What about you, bro?
There's one thing that I know of it's an app called Not Gonna Lie or NGL. It's mostly on Instagram, where you put out a question, like ask me anything, or who would you pair me with, or this, that, the other. And people can anonymously send messages. However, I say send messages. They are filtered to make sure that it's not like mean, derogatory, stuff like that. It is purely for just boosting your ego, for lack of a better word. It has been running rampant, really. It is not necessarily a bad thing, because you're getting nothing but good, positive feedback. You just got to make sure that's not the only reason you're on Instagram, because just nothing but positive feedback. Eventually, you're going to meet a real person who doesn't have feedback.
As we finished off our session, we asked each of the cadets one final question. Where do they think they'll find themselves in 5 to 10 years? First off, Kyle, the eldest of the group.
In about 5 years, I'd hope that I'm either taking command or wrapping up my time in command. And in 10 years, I'll be...
A company commander somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. What's your branch?
I'll be branching military intelligence. So I have the opportunity to take the knowledge that I have and the experience that I have from being boots on the ground as a former infantryman and being able to package that and help help communicate with those that are going to be using the information that I'm receiving.
Right.
And then within 10 years, sir, I'll be looking towards retirement. By then, I'll be at roughly 25 years of service or ready to make the transition out of the military.
I don't know. You might be a battalion commander by then. You never know. Maybe even brigade commander. It just depends. So
I need a little bit more time than that, sir.
I don't know. You never know. Things do change.
Anything can happen.
Right.
And then Georgetown's Catherine.
I have this dream of doing cross-border international humanitarian crisis conflict relief, focusing specifically on emergency management.
Okay.
That's a lot of words that I've added as I've learned more and more jobs that I could potentially be. Really, I'm interested in international cultures and helping to facilitate peace. I'm hoping through the Engineer Corps, I'm able to jump in with USAIS, the Army Corps of Engineers. I know they do a lot of domestic emergency management work and disaster relief work. As I said before, I did a lot of community work while I was working with FEMA. And so really getting into those communities, I saw the impact of some of this emergency management work, and I would love to be able to do that on a cross-border international scale.
And what about Jake from Texas?
So if like everything goes exactly how I'd want it, I would hope to be in the Air Force as an officer. After that, I would hope to work for Lockheed Martin. I'm sure y'all have heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
Exclusively.
Aren't they one of our national partners? Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
I know they hire like almost exclusively veterans, and coming from the Air Force as an officer, I'm sure I would almost have pretty much a guaranteed job there, and they pay pretty well, I'm sure. So that's my plan, hopefully.
And Easton?
I know college, I want to pursue a degree in marine biology.
Nice.
After the fact, I've been debating either getting my commission, becoming a professor or teacher, or make an attempt to stay working with that school on research.
Yeah.
For whatever comes up, preferably marine mammals or sharks.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I wanted to be, you don't remember who Jacques Cousteau is, do you?
I've heard the name.
Heard
he
the
was
name?
One of the original submarine people.
Exactly. Right? I used to want to be a marine biologist. I can tell you about that after the podcast.
As you can imagine, General Smith did end up speaking to the cadets long after we stopped recording. But Easton wanted us to turn on the mic so he could say one final thing to the listeners.
You got a great mission. Everyone who hears it, the whole, like, say yes, chase your opportunities, and try to help someone along the way.
And I think that's a great way to close things off. We'd like to thank our four cadets, Catherine, Kyle, Easton, and Jake, for coming on the show and giving us their candid and honest answers. I know I was very impressed after we left the session. I thought to myself, was I that smart when I was their age? We hope you feel the same way and that this gave you some insights into the next generation of Army and world leaders. all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Army Matters is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission, educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and supporters of a strong national defense. Today's episode was hosted by Lieutenant General Retired Les Smith and LaSharon Duncan, an anchor hosted by Carrie Viral-Heckes. Anthony Dale Call is the producer and writer, and Andy Bosnack is the supervising sound editor. Unzinga Curry is the executive producer, and the senior producers are Carrie Viral-Heckes and LaSharon Duncan. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review. As you know, we love seeing stars in the Army, especially if it comes in the form of a 5-star review. AUSA's Army Matters podcast's primary purpose is to entertain. The podcast does not constitute advice or services. While guests are invited to listen, listeners, please note that you're not being provided professional advice from the podcast or the guest. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of AUSA. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. I'm LaSharon Duncan. Hope you have a great Army Day. Hooah!